Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Amen. Well, I am so grateful. I don't know about you, about thinking about all the incredible women that God has used to impact and impart to my life. Of course, my own beautiful, sweet, kind mom. I don't know if you're watching online today, but I absolutely adore and love you. My sweet mama on the front row. I just can't thank you enough for teaching me and praying all your prayers, constantly covering us, loving us in the good, bad, and ugly. So grateful for that. And just all the women that I've been so blessed. So many of you in this room have God has used to be such an encouragement to me. So grateful for you all. And today is Mother's Day, of course, and I want to just tell you a fun fact about Mother's Day. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson officially declared Mother's Day to be a national holiday on the second Sunday of May. Did you all know that? So we've been celebrating Mother's Day since 1914. That's amazing. Is it a Hallmark day? I don't know, but I think it's always a great day to be celebrating your mom. Praise God. Well, this morning, I'm going to bring to you a message, and I'm calling it a life of legacy, a legacy of devotion. And I'm going to share with you about legacy this morning, and from a biblical perspective, a definition, the concept of legacy encompasses the spiritual, moral, and material inheritance that's passed down from one generation to the next. This inheritance is not, of course, limited to physical possessions, but it includes values, faith, and the impact of one's life on others. Legacy is what remains when you're gone, how people will remember you, what you've given them, or what you have imparted, how people are going to remember you. And the Bible provides numerous examples in teaching on the importance of leaving a godly legacy. We can see from Abraham, he left us a legacy of faith. Praise God, his faith, we're his children by faith, amen. David left a legacy of kingdom leadership and worship. Timothy inherited a spiritual legacy from his mother and his grandmother, and you can read about that in 2 Timothy 1:5, where it says, the genuine faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Powerful. And today we're going to look at somebody who's inspired me so greatly. I absolutely love her story. There's so many cool things in here. I'm so excited to share them with you. About Mary of Bethany. She was a woman whose legacy of devotion to Jesus has been shared for thousands of years since her story was told and since it was written. And we're going to look at three different instances in Scripture that tell her story. We're going to read the first one together. If you would just stand to your feet and turn in your Bibles to Luke 10. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. I'm just going to go ahead and get started, and you can catch up with me. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted, and some versions say cumbered, by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Oh God, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path. And I pray today, would you give me an unction? Fill me with the power of your spirit to be able to communicate clearly that which you've laid upon my heart for all these amazing people here in this sanctuary this morning. Come on, just lay your hands on your heart. Lord, we pray this morning. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to receive what you want to say. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking today about Mary's legacy. She was a sister of Lazarus and Martha. She lived in a town called, obviously, what's her last, Mary of Bethany. That's not her last name. It's where she's from, which is a couple miles from Jerusalem. And her life is a picture, a beautiful picture of discipleship. It's absolutely incredible. And she's mentioned a few times throughout the Gospels. And wherever she appears in the Gospels, we always find her in the same position. She's always at the feet of Jesus, always at the feet of Jesus. And here in Luke 10, we see the first instance, she's at his feet learning the word. She's learning the word. The disciples come from with Jesus, and they come and they find themselves in Bethany, and they go to have a meal at their house. And they all go and are seated around Jesus, listening to him. And Mary is right there along with all the disciples. Martha, the foodie and the hospitality queen, is running around like a crazy person. I can just imagine, just from what it says and her the way she's speaking. And trying to make sure everything's okay. Do we have any foodie people in here? People that love doing hospitality? Only like five? Okay. Well, I'm one of those people. And I can totally relate with Martha, unfortunately. But I love to make sure everything's just right. I want it to look beautiful. I want the table to look nice. I want the dishes to be just right. I want everything to match. That's just how I am. I love doing those kind of things. And that's what she's doing. She's fretting and trying to make, and finally she gets so exasperated and annoyed. And she's just like, she expresses this and she's like, come on, Jesus, don't you see? Don't you think she should be helping me? Come on. Maybe some of you have felt like that before, been on the brunt of that. Come on, get off. Stop reading your Bible. Stop worshiping over there. Come here. Come on, I need your help over here. Maybe not. But she becomes indignant, and so she bosses Jesus around. I love that. She's bossing Jesus. And I mean, to me, that just speaks of the fact that they probably had a familiarity. He probably was most likely a close friend of theirs and often went to their home and had dinner and conversation. But Mary, she bossed Jesus around. But for Mary, it was a priority. Sitting before Jesus, it was a priority. She was at his feet. It's a picture of discipleship. She was at his feet, just like scholars. So scholars would sit in those days at the feet of their tutors, at the feet of those who they were receiving a teaching from. And you can read an example of that in Acts 22:3 with Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking about his discipleship. Excuse me. And our sitting at Christ's feet, hearing his word, shows that we're ready to receive it, that we're listening, that we're receiving it, that we're taking it in. And that we're submitted to it, and it's what it's saying and what he's saying. It's guidance. And I love that Jesus allowed women to be his disciples. Back in that day, that was abnormal for women to be able to be disciples of Jesus. And so she made the word a priority, but also she was focused. Jesus said to Martha, and he says it to us today, so receive it. If this is for you, I receive it for me. I have these tendencies to work hard. I love working hard. My mama put that in me, my parents. But he said to Martha, there's only one thing. There's one thing that's needed. One thing that's needed. Needed. A necessity. We need air. We need water. We need coffee. I mean, just kidding. Some of us need coffee. Raise your hand if you're one of those people that need coffee. Okay, well, I bind that spirit of addiction off of myself as well in Jesus' name. Me too. I feel like I need coffee. It's just, I don't know. I've tried to quit recently. And it's hard, man. I just like that hot cup of whatever that is, or cold, or however you like it in the morning. I like it. Me and Jesus hanging out having coffee. I love that with my husband. But he says there's only one thing that needed, a necessity in your life, and that's to seek first the kingdom of God. It's to put him in first place, to care about his word, to read his word, to consume his word, to listen to what he says, to make him first. King David says, one thing I seek after, this thing I'm going to seek. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His heart was to be in close fellowship and intimacy and relationship with God. And Jesus had said that Mary chose the better part. And Jesus gently corrects Martha. I love it. He's saying that knowing him, putting the kingdom of God first, doing everything you can to receive his word and make it a commitment to listen. When you seek him, when you put him first, he adds all other stuff. Everything else always works out. He wasn't saying that a contemplative life was better than one that serves. And he wasn't saying that somebody who's super scholastic isn't as well as, isn't doing the right thing, but it's better to serve. He wasn't saying either of those things. You actually need both. Can you imagine if we had a church full of only Marthas? That would be really terrifying and a really high, triple AA high stress. Can you, hurry up. There's no like, you're like, oh my God, I gotta get out of that building. No. But also, if you had a church full of Marys, you'd never get anything done. We'd all just be in worship. Wait, who's gonna clean the bathrooms for all the people on Sunday? Oh, I don't know. The Lord will take care of it. Hallelujah, right? We gotta have both. And it's the attitude of our hearts where we put Jesus in first place, seeking him first. He was making a statement about priorities. If we choose the thing that's most important, if we take the time, make the commitment to read his word, to spend time with him in the place of intimacy, everything else will be added. Fruitfulness is birthed from a place of intimacy. Jesus must be first. The key is that service for God comes out of love and intimacy. Can I get an amen around here? I hate working in the arm of the flesh. It's exhausting. It's really exhausting. Now let's turn in our Bibles to John 11. And we're going to start in verse 28. And you can just read along with me. Again, English Standard Version. When she had said this, this is Martha, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher's here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, when Mary heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. And then you can skip down to verse 32. When Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him. And what'd she do? She fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Lazarus died. They had sent word to him a few days before that he was really sick. The one that you love is sick. And he died. They waited, and Jesus finally said, knowing exactly what he was doing and exactly what was going to take place, waited. He chose to wait. We don't understand why things happen the way they do sometimes. God knows. We don't understand. But he waits. They wait. And finally they go there. And before they hit the little village of Bethany, Martha runs out and meets him and falls at his feet. They have this whole conversation. Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And that's where that whole thing takes place. And then she runs to tell Mary, and then you can read that right there. Mary comes. She comes to him weeping and crying in brokenness and sorrow. She just lost her brother. Many of us in here have had loss. We've suffered loss. We've gone through great difficulties and great tragedies. And I love what Mary does. She just goes right to his feet. She falls right to his feet. You know, that's also a picture of discipleship, her discipleship. Anytime, the feet, the picture of going to the feet, it's a place of discipleship, but also it's a place of surrender. She just lost her brother. Jesus was the only one that could have healed him. She knew he could have done it. He could have come early. God, why didn't you do that? Why did this happen to us? Why did that happen to me? Why did this have to happen? Why did that happen? I don't understand. You get stuck in the whys, in the depths of sorrow, in the depths of difficulty and affliction. But that's not her attitude. I love what she does. She takes a posture of humility. She humbles herself. She goes to his feet in humility, not in accusation. She has faith. She says, even then, "Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died." She went to her knees in great respect for him. She was reverent. She still worshiped him in spite of her loss, in her sorrow, in her grief, she falls at his feet and worships. She's worshiping him. That's not a picture of going, you. That's a picture of, oh God, I submit myself to you. I surrender myself to you. She trusted his leadership. She expressed faith in him. If you'd been here. And it was a beautiful response to grief and sorrow. How do we respond? Will we worship him on our knees in the face of great difficulty when we don't feel like it, when everything on the inside of us is dying on the inside? Will we still worship him? Do we trust his leadership? Mary surrendered in humility with reverence and trusted in his leadership in the middle of her crisis. That's amazing. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 26 now. Starting in verse 6, the ESV. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment. And she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant. Oh my. Saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you'll always have the poor with you, but you'll not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she's done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. That's a legacy right there. That all alone is legacy. She was at his feet in worship. She was intentional. She knew what she was going to do. She came prepared. She brought her, she knew. She went out and bought it. She went out and got it. I don't know. Maybe it was in there. I don't know where it was. But she went. She got it. She came with it. She was intentional, fully knowing what she was about to do. She was generous. It says that it was 1 pound of nard ointment. 1 pound in the Roman measurement of things was actually about 12 ounces. So you can think about what that would look like for us. It was very costly. Probably imported, maybe from India or from some other place. And it was in a alabaster. I just feel like if we say that 10 times fast, we can make like a new rap song on Mother's Day, right? Alabaster flask or a jar. And to open it, you had to break it. You had to break the neck of it for the contents to be poured out. She was unashamed. Before the others. She broke tradition and cultural norms. She poured it on his feet. She let her hair down. And she washed his feet with her hair. Do you know what that is during the culture of that time? To wear your hair down and loose was considered to have loose morals. To not have your head covered. And wear it down. It was reserved for marriage, intimacy, and things like that. We'll just leave it right there. There's all kinds of other things. And she washed her. She didn't care. She didn't care what they thought. She knew what was coming. You know, she was among the very first to know that Jesus was going to die. And the men were crying, she's immoral. Her hair is down. But she was prophetic. Her act was prophetic. She knew his time had come. And, you know, all the disciples, they had all these conversations. Jesus had told them and said it in his way of communicating that he was going to be going to the cross, that he was going to die, that he was going to be resurrected, and that he was going to send the helper and all these different things. And the guys were still like, what do you mean? What do you mean we can't go where you're going? Where were you going? Well, that we can't go with you. But she had, you know, sorry, fellas. You guys are like warriors. Whoa! Women, we have I don't know. There's a sensitivity sometimes to the spirit that We can have, and I'm not trying to insult men at all. It's just that I, if you know women, what I'm saying, there's something, you know, when you're a knower, the Holy Ghost can make you be really sensitive in that capacity, sometimes more sensitive than men. Amen? Can I get it? Amen? Or did I just hurt everybody in the room? Sorry. But I found that most women know things are happening long before the men do. Oh, sorry, babe. But she didn't care. And she broke that alabaster. She broke that flask, that jar. And it was symbolic even of Jesus's broken body and the fragrant aroma of his offering that was acceptable to the Lord on our behalf. She knew he was about to die. She knew it. It was beautiful. And Jesus' response, I just love. Why do you trouble her? In pouring this ointment on my body, she's done it to prepare me for burial. What a beautiful example of worship. Unashamed. Doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Just like when you come to church and you lift your hands, you're in a place of worship. You don't care. You love him. You just love him, and you're going to do whatever it takes so that you can worship, so that you can give, so that you can serve, whatever that looks like. It's beautiful. And I love also that after Jesus dies, you're not going to find Mary of Bethany at the tomb. You're not going to find her. You don't find her there in any of the accounts. Some of them, the women just go there. Some of them, they're going to bring spices to anoint Jesus. Well, guess what? Mary already did. She already did it. She already expressed her worship. She already anointed Jesus for burial. Fascinating. I just think that's so powerful. Well, what does this mean for us here, 2026, Mother's Day, May 10th? How can we leave a legacy of devotion for our families and for the people that we know and anywhere? What will be said about us and our lives? It's a great day, and it's a great text to be, you know, evaluate that. I'm always thinking about that now that I become a grandma. I entered my grandma era. Don't mind that beeping. It's okay. Well, first of all, we want to live a life that's submersed in the Word. We want to put Jesus first. Jesus is the living Word. When we read the Word, we're spending time with him. Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. We must commit to reading the Word, reading the Bible daily, spending time with him daily. Jesus said his Word is truth. And his truth, the Word, sanctifies us. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to have faith? Listen to the Word of God. Listen to him. Read his Word and hear yourself reading it out loud. Listen to the Word of God. Be intentional like Mary rather than being distracted and pulled in many directions. Don't be distracted. Don't let anything. Put a fence around that time. I'm preaching to myself here. I got a full life, and I'm grateful. But I have to do that. We have to do that. We must be hearers of the Word. But we also have to be doers of the Word. Make the Bible, the Word of God, a priority in your life. You can start today. Start today. If you haven't done it, I double dog dare you. Start today. You're going to hear me pretty much every time I preach. Get in the Word. It's life. If you don't understand it, you don't understand how to study it, it's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Learn. Find out. Ask people. There's leaders. There's pastors. There's people. There's people around here. You can come and ask. Don't be ashamed. A lot of people are ashamed to admit that they don't know how. And I'm going to tell you, the church all over is widely uneducated about the Word. Learn the Word. Make a commitment to do it. Join a Bible study. Join a life group. Join a team. Do something. Go to college. Take classes. Whatever you need to do. Learn the Word of God. Put him first. Like Mary, we've got to put him first and be submersed in the Word. Secondly, we have to live a life of surrender. Such a hard part sometimes. We have to come to him in humility when we don't understand. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in the storm. When the wind of adversity blows, when the waves overtake us, when you're waiting on promises and they take too long in your own understanding. When our children are going through it, when marriages are on the rocks, when we're drowning in sorrow and in the dark night of the soul, we must come to him. We must come to him in reverence. His name is a strong tower. We run to him and we're saved. The righteous run into him and we are saved. He alone has the words of eternal life. And like Job declared, even though he slay me, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to revere his name. He's God. I'm not God. I don't understand, but he alone is God. He's on the throne. Thirdly, we must trust his leadership. Do we trust his leadership in our lives? God help. Will we come before him on our knees, worshiping, though we may never understand? When tragedy hits, when the way forward seems dark and hidden, have you experienced, we experience great loss. In times of adversity, when the heavens seem like brass and when you don't hear his voice. When he doesn't answer your prayer, when you have to wait, when you're afraid, when your heart is broken, when you're hurting, when you don't get what you want, when he says no. Will we be found faithful? When difficulty comes, may I encourage you today, people of God, so many run. They run away. They go back to their old ways. They just say that that doesn't work. I just give up on God. My faith is hurt. My heart is broken. Let me encourage you. Run to God. Run to him. Run to the strong tower. He's given us his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit, the helper. We're never alone. We have his power on the inside to help us make it through. He's our healer. He's our comforter. He's our guide. And he's the source of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's our refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we're not going to fear any evil because you, oh God, you're with us. Your rod and your staff, your correction, oh God, your inspection, everything. You are with us. You lead us, you guide us, and you direct us. So grateful. Like Mary, we must trust his leadership in our lives. And thirdly, we must live a life of sacrificial devotion. Worship team, would you come on up? Like Mary, the world's not going to understand your choices. They're not going to understand, and there's persecution. Your family, your friends, even people in church, even Christians. So I'm just saying, some of them, they may not understand. You're wasting your time. They don't understand why you won't and don't do what you used to do. Why you pray, why you go to church, why you serve, why do you go to events? Why do you go to early morning prayer? Why do you go to church? Why do you serve and give and sacrifice and do all the things the way that you do? Why? It'll seem ridiculous to them, an affront to their minds and to their hearts, and they'll accuse you and think you're crazy. But it was this very act of worship. It was her crazy, radical, extravagant, costly, unashamed worship that pleased Jesus. That he said that today, 2,000 years ago, we would still be talking about her story. We'd still be talking about her story. And here we are in Wasilla, Alaska. Those of us that know what he's done, truly, what he saved us from, what he's delivered us from. Oh God, we will stand. We stand and we just thank you, God, for what you've done. You are our Redeemer. We know that you live. And the declaration out of our mouths is we will see you. We will stand with you on that day. And we'll live our lives the very best with the things of eternity in mind. I'm talking about living a life and having a legacy of devotion. And I believe there's a people here in Alaska, in the sound of my voice, watching online, even, that if we choose, if we decide, as God's people to live in this way, that we're going to leave an indelible mark
on our children, on our grandchildren, on our friends, on our marriages, in our families, in the schools, in the businesses, in our community. We'll leave a mark. They'll know your life by how you live and how you sacrifice and what you've done, your worship. They may not understand it, but you'll leave a mark, a legacy. Why don't you stand to your feet all over this place? By living like Mary, at the feet of Jesus in the Word, a life of devotion to the Lord where we choose the better part, the one thing, seeking His kingdom first, obeying and listening to His Word, holding it as the top priority in our lives. As we sit at His feet and surrender in the times of adversity and difficult, even though we don't understand. And as we sit in at his feet in devotion, sacrificial devotion, giving everything that we can, because the time is short, a life in which all of our efforts, our worship, our service, our yes, our no, everything that we do, we choose. Our birth from sitting at His feet in the place of intimacy and communion, not white-knuckling it, but receiving strength and grace and friendship from the One who made us. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful. Can we just begin to lift our voices all over this place right now?
You,
come on, let's just lift our voices. Lord, we're so grateful.
Thank you,
Lord, for what you did. I don't hear you out there. I don't hear anybody thanking God. Come on, don't just listen to me do it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you for all of the price that you paid on the cross. Thank you, God, that you've given us your very word. Oh God, we honor you and we worship you and we thank you. And we thank you, God, that you have chosen us to be alive, even for a time such as this. God, to help you, to partner with you, to bring in the great harvest of souls, to share with others about the great things that you've done, and to leave a legacy of devotion in your name, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Put your hands together for God and His word. Would you bow your heads for just a moment as we just about bring this service to a conclusion? You're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm grateful that you're here and I want you to hear this. God loves you. You are separated from God. We've all been separated from God because of sin. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God doesn't forgive you just because you asked. He forgives you based upon justice. Your sin, my sin, our sin demanded justice. There's got to be a price that was paid. It's like getting a speeding ticket. You're going to get a ticket if you speed, potentially. You're going to go to court and you're guilty. You're going to get a mark on your license or you're going to pay a fine. All of us have sinned. We're guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God pays that for us when we believe on Him, when we confess and believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we're forgiven. Believe what? Believe that He died in your place. Believe that He rose again from the grave. And declare through what the Bible calls is repentance, asking for forgiveness and changing the way you think, repentance. That's what that means, to think differently. Every head bowed, every eye closed, want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You've never done it. I'm going to invite you now before we close this service to give your heart to Christ on this Mother's Day 2026. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. You've never done it. You want to do that? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Number two, you've given your heart to Jesus maybe when you were a young boy at some Bible camp or something like that, or maybe it was last year, but you know you're not living for God. You know you're not 100% living for the Lord, and you want to recommit your life to Jesus. You fit in any of those two categories, and then I'll add a third. You're just not sure. You want to be sure that you're going to heaven. You want to be sure that your sin's forgiven. all across this great sanctuary, those online. Give your heart to Jesus for the first time. Number two, recommit because you drifted in your commitment and you want to come home. You want to sell out. You want to give your heart back to him. Number three, you just want to be sure. Raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Do it right now. Raise your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hands all over this right-hand side of the church. God bless you. God bless you. Raise your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Over on this middle and left section, I see that hand in the back. Thank you for your honesty. Raise your hand right now. You're serious about it. Want your sins forgiven. Want heaven to be your home. God bless you. Raise your hand. All right. Let's pray all together. Would you pray with me right out loud? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. Come on, right out loud. To die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to forgive me, to wash me and cleanse me from all of my wrongs. And come and live inside my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And help me to live a life of devotion that leaves a legacy in my family, in this world, for the glory of God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Would you put your hands together for Jesus?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.